You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry. All of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. Go out to our website www.whenchristianspeak.com and click on our donation page.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth and relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
Father, I choose to be open and receptive today. I humble myself, bearing my heart, my joys, and my pains. I thank you for restoring my wounded soul. I believe that I will not receive more than your humanity can bear. I ask that what is hidden in my conscious and unconscious mind, those secrets hidden from myself that block my growth and intimacy with God and others, be revealed. Search me, Holy Spirit. Reveal these hidden hurts to me. And show me the areas that must be addressed today. I give you permission to go to the points of inception of my hurts and hidden memories that are negatively impacting my life. I give you access to my heart and mind so that you may bypass any repression, denial, depression, disassociation, confusion, guilt, shame, condemnation, pride, unforgiveness, anger, fear, or lies that may be blocking my memories. Override any obstacles that have hindered me or are hindering me from receiving my freedom in you. I renounce and counsel the effects of receiving any accusations and lies into my mind, body, soul, and heart that is contrary to the truth of who you say that I am. I declare that I live my life loved, cherished, and adored by you. I receive in my heart every expression of your love for me. Because you love me, I am free of all guilt, shame, and condemnation. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Sis, excited. Go ahead, sis. Go ahead, go ahead. That's a, go ahead. Sis, excited about this day. Glory to God. That's a. Go ahead. Just step on in. All right, so I'm teaching this morning on from thankful to hateful. I told you I'm going real on you. I'm out the box. How many of y'all decided to get out the box? Ain't no ask you what you saw, what you got. But I'm thankful that you're out the box and I'm out the box. From thankful to hateful. Y'all ever dealt with anybody like that?
Yes.
You ever? Yep. Y'all have? On this side?
Yes.
Yeah. I just wanted it all to sink in. Turn to your neighbor. Yeah. You're not one of them hateful people, are you? Uh-oh. What'd they say? What'd they say? What'd they say? They said no on this side? Oh, Sam Booth, y'all not. I know you got one back there that I know, but I ain't calling no names. See? See? What about this side? Ain't called no names. See, she thought I was going to call a name, but I didn't. I'm giving her 2-3 weeks. but let me tell y'all something. Let me tell you a story. So the Galileans. You know, so from Galilee to Jerusalem is only 5 miles. But the Galileans, they were common people. They were common. You know what I mean by common? They were unsophisticated. They were unspoiled listeners. You know, it's like they paid attention. When Jesus talked, they paid attention. Right. Say, do you pay attention? What'd they say? So when you're talking to people and they pay attention, you talk more, don't you? So Jesus spent more time with them because they paid attention. They wasn't special like other people we know. So Jesus even said in Mark chapter 12, verse 37, that the Galileans like to listen. They paid attention. So do you spend more time with somebody to pay attention? So since Jesus knew they paid attention, what he did with them was he spent more time there. He spent more time with them. Not only did he spend more time with them, but he performed more miracles there. Because remember, in the scripture talks about how in his hometown, he couldn't do no mighty work. So you got to make an attitude about, I'm here to listen. I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn. I'm here to grow. I'm here to change. That's a decision you got to make. So they tried to make him king because that's how much they enjoyed being around him, hanging around him. But let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? Sharon, I'm going to ask the question. How can you make somebody what they already are? You trying to make me a king, but I'm already a king. So you got to ask yourself, what is it that people trying to make you be that you already are? It's called free. So if you're free, somebody else is not setting you free. He has set us free. So you got to make a decision. What you want to do with that? But people can't make you what you already are. If you're a leader, you can't be made a leader. That's who you are. You just haven't put on the right hat yet, or the right shirt, or the right shoes, or the right attitude. So when you got time where you can spend time with somebody that you can talk with them and their attitude change, you want to tell them more. I know I'm guilty of that. I want to say it all. I see that light in you. You ever talk to somebody and saw light in the eyes? Have you? Well, see, once you see that light, you want to tell them more. And then I got to talk to the Holy Spirit while I'm talking to them. He said, be quiet. Be quiet. That's enough. Just let them chew on that for a little while. When they want more, they'll say something. Amen? Who am I talking to? Okay, I see one over here. Anybody over here? Okay. I know. Who was I talking about? The Galileans, right? Are you a Galilean? Do you like to hear the word? Okay, that's what you say now. Now I'm talking about Jerusalem, another tribe of people. So they was wealthy. Say wealthy. Wealthy. And they were superficial. What's that? They tried to, on Sunday or whatever day they had their church, that they act like they was all together. They ain't do nothing wrong. And I'm telling you, all right? But Jesus was antagonized by them. He called them scribes and Pharisees, and he said they were hypocrites. And if you want to check that out, you can check it out in Matthew chapter 23. Because see, when I got out of the box, I made a decision that I'm not going to tell y'all everything. I'm going to have you leave like the Bereans did. They went back home after their service, and they sought and looked at the scriptures to see whether they be so. Okay? But just be glad. I ain't going to give you a quiz on it next week. All right? I'm out the box. Now, the Sadducees, they were some special people. I'm going to ask you about you being a Sadducee in a minute. Now, the Sadducees, they were special. You know what? How they were special? Because they wanted to preserve their wealth and their lifestyle. So when Jesus came in talking this stuff he was talking about, then they didn't want to hear that because, look, they want to preserve their what? Lifestyle. I got a question for you. I ain't finished with you yet. So it was the first Sadducees that decided, sad, you see, it was the first Sadducees that decided they wanted to get rid of Jesus. They said, hey, man, we got to get this guy out of here because he's going to mess up our lifestyle. I got a question for you. Can I ask a question? Yes. In what ways do we plot against Jesus to preserve our lifestyle? Who do you hang around that you shouldn't be around? What do you do that you know shouldn't be done? Now, that's a question. Mighty quiet. So remember, the whole mindset says, so Sadducees, they were the ones that started talking to Jerusalem and said, hey, look, we got to get rid of this guy. And see, when you don't like what you hear, when I see, and it's the truth, you will still bypass all your consciousness to make sure that you take somebody out that were only doing their job. Not only were they doing their job, but they were doing their giftings. Jesus came. He had it all made. Because, see, he was in the beginning. He just didn't show up. He was in the beginning. Remember in Genesis where it talks about? And the earth was without form and void. And God said. See, once God said, then that's where Jesus came in. Because he is the Word. And then the Holy Spirit takes the things of God and goes from it. But I got a question in the back.
I was just going to answer your question about how we used to plot on Jesus. Well, way back in the day.
Way back in the day.
I would plot what I was going to do and know that I was going to repent after.
Okay.
It would be fine once I repent.
Okay.
So that's how I used to plot on
okay.
Jesus.
Okay. Who else? Did y'all have that game with you? Okay. Y'all mighty low. All right. So I'm going. Okay. Mic coming your way. Need a mic over here. What were you willing to do to make sure that you got to have your fun? Yes, sir.
Can you repeat the question again? I want to make sure.
Okay.
I think I got it, but I want to make sure.
The question is, in what ways does will, because I'm making it personal, plot against Jesus to preserve his lifestyle?
I'll do something like speeding or changing lanes or cursing at the light.
Okay.
And I know it's wrong, but then I'll say, Father, forgive me. I'll do it again.
Okay. All right. Okay. Appreciate the honesty. Anybody else? Okay. I got one in the back. Let's hear it.
Pastor, do you think we do the same thing when we come to church and don't do what you teach?
What y'all think? Inquiring minds want to know. What y'all think? Yes? This side mighty quiet. What y'all plotting over here? They plotting and planning. Excellent question. Because that's what we do. But then we call on him when it don't work. Long as it look like it's working. Okay? All right. So Jesus came. We say we want Jesus. We accept Jesus. But it only took 5 days for my entire city to go from accepting him to rejecting him. How long does it take for us before we hear a word and we reject the word? We hear truth and we reject the truth. Palm Sunday reveals how fast our thankfulness can turn to hatefulness. I mean, am I lying on anybody? I don't want you to raise your hand, though. You can be in church. Church is over. Everybody, I said amen. Everybody excited about the time that I finished it and everything. Everybody got plans and everything. And then somebody can say something to you special on the way out. Am I lying on anybody? And you still haven't said nothing to that person for saying what they said to you last Sunday. Okay? You march right by them, act like you ain't see them. I mean, if you had to squeeze in a space just so you wouldn't have to say nothing to them. Am I lying on anybody? Don't say nothing. Go ahead and forgive that person. It's not worth it. Because, see, you can't hear him through trash. Can't hear him through trash. Yes, sir. Can't hear him through trash. Because, see, that trash been piled up. See, if we really took a look at ourselves, we would recognize that Satan used the same weapon each time. He just used a different person. Oh. Or a different time. Or a different place. Amen. Boy, I tell you. Y'all breathing over here? For Christians, Palm Sunday symbolizes the welcome of Jesus into our hearts and our willingness to follow him. See that word, willingness? That means we're excited about doing it. When he asks us to do something that's a little special, see, I was going to say give. We okay, Lord, we don't have to give. Do y'all realize that only 5% of Christians give? 5%. But that's right, y'all don't want to hear that because y'all want me to go on to something else that you can digest. Palm branches represented victory. You know, when he came by and what they did was they threw branches on the ground that was like a sort of like a rug or a mat mattress for him to walk on, or mats. Those branches represented triumph.
that because he's here, we are going to win. The way that life was before we knew him is going to be different. Those branches, when they, Palm Sunday, were just representing peace and eternal life. Peace and eternal life. That's why sometimes when you're in counseling with me and emotion will come up that's good, I say, Holy Spirit, would you mind showing them? Like, for example, he gives you a word and that word is peace. And I say, Holy Spirit, would you mind showing them in a moment of time what peace looks like in their life because they never experienced peace? And he'll do it. And their body starts to change. Their facial expression changes. It starts to light up where they were dark. But see, the Holy Spirit makes sure that you get to understand he's on our level. He comes down to our level so that we have no excuse for not understanding. So Jesus rode on a donkey. Now, we got to understand things. You got to study things. Well, most people say, well, how come he didn't ride on a horse? He rode on a donkey. Who wants to ride on a donkey? You ever seen a pretty donkey? But you seen a pretty horse. But the thing about Jesus, he don't look at outward appearance. He looks on the inside. So, see, a donkey symbolized peace and hope. That's why he knew people needed. But if you get on a horse now, they got some pretty horses. What's it called? A Clydesdale? Yeah, they got the big feet and everything, and it's a massive. I remember they used to be, when I was drinking beer, how many of y'all used to drink beer? See, ain't nobody going to raise their hand. Okay, Man, for the Super Bowl commercial, they always had them pretty horses. They were pulling the beer and all that kind of stuff. I just want to take y'all back for a second. Now I'm going to come back for it. So if Jesus came in on a horse, that meant he meant war. That's what the horses represented. It meant war, and there was a king riding on a horse. You got it? So that's why he took a donkey. Then as he was walking in, you could hear people say, Hosanna, Hosanna. So if you look at the Hebrew and the Greek, so I got multiple translations here, so that way you can get them all. When they were saying Hosanna, Hosanna, they would say, pray, save us. Pray and save us. Now, the catch was they wanted Jesus to pray. Because they tried their prayer and it wasn't working. It wasn't looking good. You had to go in the temple. You had to do all this. But see, when Jesus died and rose from the dead, he put the temple inside of us. So let me go ahead and answer the question. But he says, as you see the time approaching, make sure you stay in your church, fellowship. Okay? So iron sharpens iron. Okay, mighty quiet. The second word, the first one was Hebrew, and the second one was Greek. It says, Hosanna, send now prosperity and give us success. So can you understand why the Galileans wanted to hang around with Jesus? Because they were poor. And see, when they were saying Hosanna, Hosanna, they said, okay, send us prosperity and give us success. What are you saying? Uh-oh. Hosanna in the highest. They even said that. That's help. Salvation and freedom. I mean, those are a lot of words. Just by saying one word, you get it all. Just like when you say Jesus. His name is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow. Every tongue has to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Sickness can't mess with that. But you got to believe what you say. In Psalms chapter 118, verse 25 in the Amplified, it says, O Lord, save now. When?
Now.
When you need him? We beseech you, O Lord, we beseech you, and send now prosperity and give us success. But if he gives us to us, that means we got to walk in his ways. He's going to tell us what to do, when to do, how to do it. Talk to him about stuff that you don't understand how to do. Oh, I'm sorry. You can talk to him about stuff you think you know how to do. Because he's all-knowing. I'm telling you, this relationship guy, I'm serious about this thing. What is causing the quarrels? Now I'm getting to meddling. Say meddling. James chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 in the New Living Translation. Nicole, I went to another translation. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? How do you know they're at war within you? How y'all know? Oh, okay. Okay, somebody said get confused with house. How you know it's waging war?
You're never at peace.
Oh, you're not at peace? Okay, all right. What? Say again? You get emotional? Okay. What else?
A recurring thought is when I'm thinking the same thought over and over again. You're thinking that thought about what that person said, what that person did, and it just keeps coming around, keeps coming around, keeps coming around, keeps coming around. And then you got to process it. What did I teach you last week? What emotion am I feeling? What emotion do I want to feel? So I'm just telling you, okay? Because the enemy will allow that movie to be replayed because it thinks that's the one you want to watch. Okay? You want what you don't have. Uh-oh. Y'all know how commercials work, don't you? They show you the car or the truck. Now the new thing is trucks, real nice trucks, and they're going through the woods where we used to trucks where, you know, they ride on the road. But, you know, they want to take you out of your imagination. They want to take you further. You can get this truck dirty. When they want to sell something, what they do? They don't get ugly stuff to sell stuff, do they? They make sure it's the best stuff. But see, what it is you want what you don't have. So we decide to scheme and to kill to get it. Now, I don't mean just kill and shoot. I mean kill people's reputation, people's personality. You got special things you want to say about them. They helping you. Okay, let me keep on going. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. How people try to take things away from you? Raise your hand. How people try to take things away from you? What weapons do they use? The gossip. The gossip? Okay. Okay. What else?
Yeah, but just saying their words.
Their words? So if someone can't stop you, they'll start communicating with the people that know you, and they'll try to reduce your worth. You understand what I'm saying? So they'll ask little questions. And when they call you back or they talk to you again, they'll have another question to ask. Because they can see it in your eyes. When you mention that person's name and there used to be a light up in the eyes, that's just say pastor. It was a good thing. Then after you start hanging around with certain people, they start looking at you.
Amen.
They start looking at you.
Right.
You don't remember everything that was done good.
Right.
You remember the ugly.
Right.
And you had a part in the ugly.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I
do. You understand? I'm out the box. Don't waste your time with that stuff.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless such and such. I thank you in advance that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I mean, you got to talk to God about stuff. Because the more you think about it, the worse it gets. Write that down.
Yeah,
the more you think about it, the worse it gets. Because
exactly.
The mind doesn't care how far back it has to go to get somebody similar to what just hurt you. But it'll go. But you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God. You mean to tell me God can help me get what I want? Really? So what'd you want? Write it down. Go ahead, write it down. Y'all feel bold enough, y'all raise your hand, I'll call on you. What is it that you want? You gotta talk to him. Ask him. And see, once you ask him and he gives you that knowing on the inside, don't be surprised about people that you don't know who approach you
exactly.
And want to share something with you.
Amen.
Now they might not say God told me. They just might say, hey, you know, I'm glad I ran into you at the gym. I'm glad I ran into you at such and such. I'm glad I ran into you at such and such. And you get to talking to them, and that's who God sent for the question that you had. It won't be the same people. Y'all got it? All right, let's see what else happened. 2 Timothy. Now I'm really getting the matter. Are we Hosanna or crucify him? That's the question. Because the Galileans, they were the ones that were shouting Hosanna. And we tell all what that represent, what that means. But see, it was the Sadducees and the people over in Jerusalem. They were the ones that say, crucify him. So a lot of times, we'll scream out crucify when when God wants us to change and we don't want to. You might stop coming to church, stop reading your Bible, stop praying. And who is that hurting? Who is that hurt? But see, I got news for y'all. I got to share this thing with you about crucify him. See, when we say crucify him, we don't want his doctrine. We don't want his presence. We don't want his love because we have another way. hours. Now, if our way was so good, we would need him. Some people think their way is so good, they don't need him. But that million won't get you into heaven, because it's not a paid for thing. It's a word thing. So I want to answer all the questions that everybody got about school shootings. It's in here. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. It's in here. I want to answer all the right that can be wrong. There was a time in politics where, you know, you had a standard, but it's going to be in here. So in the next time something happened that surprised you, I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. Because it's going to answer all your questions. Because there was a time where the United States worshiped God. In schools. How many of y'all, you did the president, I mean, president, what you call it? The president legion to the flag. And you prayed. Okay? Raise your hand. Keep your hand. I'm trying to check you out. Okay? All right? Then they got new school. And one person took out prayer from the school. One person. There wasn't no shooting then. And I want to make it clear, I'm not saying this stuff is right. When God is asked to leave, he leaves. But the only thing that happened, okay, now I'm going to go old school on y'all. I want y'all to stay with me. Now, the only thing that happened in school, when we were going to school, when we said the prayer and we did the flag, you know, we might steal somebody's milk. Okay? Why do I say that? To this day, I love chocolate milk. Carla went to the store yesterday. She said, honey, anything you need. What'd I say, honey?
Chocolate milk.
And then as she on the way out the door, I said, what about my cookies? Okay? But see, we mom made our lunch. So I just had to steal the boys' cookies. You know, I made it a point. I asked for forgiveness, wanted y'all to know. So I try to sit by somebody different every day so I can steal their lunch. And I just tell, hey, look at that. The lunch, that milk is mine. So what else was the worst that you encountered at school when you could pray and when you said pledge allegiance to the flag? What was the worst thing that you encountered? A fight on the playground, okay. But see, the thing about it, though, Cheryl, after they had a fight on the playground, everybody saw it was over. Yeah. You know, you was happy that you beat. Y'all hugged and stuff like that. Teacher would see it, and sometimes she wouldn't even look over because she knew, okay, it's going to be all right. Kids do what kids do. And they didn't fight in class. They didn't bring guns to school. How long guns been around? Mental illness. You know, you had classes for everything. I see a hand back there.
Your question back when we said the Pledge of Allegiance and prayed, we would use our words instead of physicality.
So, okay, all right.
Know, make fun of your hair or your lips or whatever.
Okay. Anybody did that? See, y'all try to act like y'all holy. Y'all now. But let's check it out. Let's take a look at this and see what happens. The question is, are we Hosanna or are we crucify him? But understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble. See, that's why I want to make sure that your mind gets renewed so you can process the stress and the trouble that you go through. If you don't process your emotions, what happens is it'll get you to the place where you just like those that don't have an answer. He is the answer. Will come difficult days that will be hard to bear. The fact that I'm just around those times where there was just a creed that was never spoken, but always walked in. You didn't kill children. You didn't shoot children. And now it seems like it's not satisfied until you shoot a child. Will come difficult days that will be hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self, narcissists, self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant, revelers, party over here, disobedient to parents, ungrateful,
unholy, and profane. Now, let me just take a look at a few words. When I started studying counseling, I was told a narcissist. Paul, you only do one narcissist per lifetime. So in counseling, when I'm counseling somebody, A, B, C, D, if I go up to A, up to D, when the person leaves, they should at least remember A, B, and C. Three things out of the four. When you counsel a narcissist, they believe they are God. That's how far this thing goes. You can't tell them anything. And they are there because someone said, I need you to go to counseling, otherwise this relationship won't work. So while they're there, they're trying to get information that they can take back and destroy the person that they're dealing with. A, B, C, D. They go back to A. Because they are not supposed to be there. They don't think they have a problem. It's always your problem. So I'm just telling you in advance, if you're dating a narcissist, you don't call them a narcissist. You keep that to yourself. Because they will show you to be one. If you come to me and I'm counseling you, and I identify that that's a narcissist, I will tell you not to tell them. That's the only secret I ask a person to keep. Because, guys, you don't know what hell is until they get loose on you. They'll make you question everything there is to question about yourself. It will always be your problem. But when we're talking about self-focus, it's always about you. Y'all ever dealt with anybody like that? It's always about them. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, it's about them. But I'm just telling you, this is what we're dealing with right now. You got to have your mind renewed because it's here. It's not coming. It's here. But let me just go real because real is where I'm at. See, when you get out of that box and you kick things away, boy, you just don't care no more about what people think about you. Because you're going to talk about me if I'm right. You're going to talk about me if I'm right. You're going to talk about me if I'm right. And if I'm wrong, you're going to add to it. This might not sound right, but it's God's word. And his word says, honor thy father and mother, that things will go well with you, and you will live long on the earth. Now, sometimes the only way you can honor your father and mother is to acknowledge that they are your parents. Because some parents are nasty, are mean. Some people have been molested by their parents, been raped by their parents, been beaten by their parents. I don't mean spanking, I mean beaten. But watch where your heart is. Ask God to give you the ability to forgive them. Because there are a lot of people now who are sick, shut in. The doctors can't do anything with them because it's a spiritual thing. It's not a natural thing. So you can talk against your parents if you want. And boy, let me tell you, it's coming your way. It's coming your way. Because he said, honor. Honor. Now, can you tell me what a 12-year-old, what a 6-year-old or 10-year-old know about a budget? I don't like the way my parents spent their money. You just dishonored your parents. So now money will come your way, but it won't stay your way. Money will come your way, and you can be a billionaire, but you won't have happiness in the midst of it. This parent thing is real, guys. This parent thing is real. And the problem we have is we're trying to get God to understand what they did to us. Don't you think he know? And that's why he has it in here, is because he wants us to know the life that I have planned for you is a great life. But when you come against your parents, you're putting me in a place where I got to back up. I'm telling you guys, some parents have come, you know, the children have come in this session, and when they tell me what the mom or the dad did, I cry with them. I tell you in advance, I say, look, I'm going to cry with you. That thing hurt. I let them get it out, and then I say, okay, now here's the forgiveness prayer. Every time you think about that parent, put them in the forgiveness prayer. Because, see, you want to walk in a place, guys, where you, see, life is challenging enough as it is. You don't want that curse against you. Amen. And God is not putting the curse on you. He told you that it's there. So you check. When you go to the doctor and you know how you treated your parents and they can't find nothing wrong, it's spiritual. You got it?
disobedient to parents, ungrateful. I mean, they did what they could do. Yeah, dad might have been an alcoholic, mom might have been this, such and such, such and such, and you had to work your way up through life. Forgive them so you can enjoy the life. Girl, they made it quiet. Let me keep going. And they will be unloving, profane of natural human affection, callous, inhumane. So you can't hurt them because they're too busy hurting you. See, love has an expression. Love has a look. Love has a feel. When you step into this arena where they void of natural human affection, you can see love because it's evident. Y'all know what love looks like, don't you? How y'all know y'all love? Now, let's go natural. I'm not talking about God. Let's go natural. See, that's what I had to do, Bonetta. I'm calling on you in a good way. Okay, so y'all raise your hand. How do you know you love? Might come in your way. How do you know you love? You got one in the back?
So one thing could be if someone gives you a gift, they give you a gift that's personal to you, not something where they would get the glory from.
Okay.
It.
Okay. All right.
So it's not what they want. It's really something that's personal for you.
For you. Okay. So you know you love when you get a gift that you would want.
Right.
Okay. All right. Who else? This is y'all's chance. I got one over here. I got one in the back. Go ahead. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
I think it can be as simple as the way they say your name is different.
Ooh. What do you mean?
I like to hear my name in a tenor or bass voice.
Okay, ooh.
So I appreciate that.
All right, now. I think she's going in a different direction.
Renetta said, yes, sir. So we good.
Huh? Okay. Do you like to hear a man say your name in tenor? Or? Okay, see what I'm talking about? Now you read him between the lines. Okay, what we got here?
I know I'm loved when someone tells me the truth
about
myself, whether I agree with it or not.
Okay.
But they're telling me the truth because it's for my good.
Glory. So Sharon, give me an example. You ain't got to use names unless you want to. Give me an example of someone telling you the truth and you feel love because they care enough about you to tell you the truth.
Someone told me, we did an exercise here at church. Mm-hmm. It was on blind spots.
Okay.
And they told me that I was extra.
Okay, all right.
That I made everything extra difficult.
Okay.
And it made, at first it was like, who the heck did
Okay, all right, all right. Y'all know what she said, though.
Telling me, that's a bold-faced lie.
Okay.
I don't see that. But then I had to take a second look at how I received things and how I went about doing things. Uh-huh. And yeah, there was some truth in that.
Okay, awesome.
I believe that person told me the truth, not to hurt me, but to help me.
Glory.
To help myself.
Okay, awesome. Okay, thank you. See, we're good with it, though. You did good. Well, what I got back on you?
I was actually going to say exactly what Sharon said, that I know I'm loved when I'm confronted on something, maybe a character trait or anything from someone that I love. It may make me uncomfortable, but that situation, that person is not creating a space where it's not safe.
Gotcha.
So even though I'm uncomfortable, it's still safe with them.
Okay, I appreciate your honesty. I ran down steps last night because I was working on a message, and Curly told me something. Curly told me, and I just stayed at the keyboard like it. I said, man, that thing makes sense. But I stayed on the keyboard. I ain't moved. See, you don't want to move. You just want to stay where you are. What am I feeling? Man, I got a lot more I need to do if I do it her way. That was a thing. So anxious, would that be okay? That's my emotion. Then how do I want to feel? I want to feel like I did it the way God told me to do it. And he used her to do it. So, you know, she's down the stairs cooking. Y'all know I'm always, I smell the... Yeah, she cooking, she do a whole lot of stuff. But see, I want to move stuff all the way so she can cook. Y'all understand? Honey, you need me doing anything? So I ran down the steps and I grabbed her and I said, honey, I just want to thank you for speaking truth to me. And see, you can say what you was going to say. I said, man, I was just thinking about all the extra work I would have to do if I did it the way you shared. But I thank you for telling me because that's going to work. That's awesome.
You know what she told me? Don't use the name of Palm Sunday. Use another name. And see, I got your attention when I, what's the name of the message? See, I got your attention. But that's what she shared with me. So I had to change things. But I went right down the steps and told her, hugged her, gave her a kiss, ran back upstairs. I didn't want to interrupt the cook. Yeah. All right, what I got right here?
That I'm loved when people who know me and know that I'm not really a touchy-feely person,
okay,
but they will casually kind of touch me, you know, just to reassure me, okay, or something. Uh-huh. But it's a safe touch.
Okay, safe touch. Okay, okay. I appreciate you. Anybody else? Yes. I got, okay, y'all started to come in there. Go ahead.
I know I'm loved when people do things for me that are unexpected, but then they just do things that like really help me.
Okay, okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
I know I love when it takes strangers to come to me and tell me they love me. Okay. And not only that, they tell me the truth about myself, things, okay, that I did not know what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
And when they bring it to my attention, I let them know, I thank you all, because I didn't recognize I was doing this. So that's how I know I'm loved.
Okay, awesome, awesome. So what I'm hearing is truth makes me feel loved. I got two over here, guys. Yes, sir. How do you know you love, Will?
I know I'm loved when, you know, I'll do something little, a little thing like, you know, straightening the house or getting the gas or whatever, and they notice it, and it's not said right then, but it's said at some point. Okay. I know that I'm acknowledged, and when I'm acknowledged for doing those little things, I'm loved.
Okay, doing little things, no, you love. Thank you. All right, who else you got? Yes, ma'am.
Mine is simple. I know I'm loved when you give me your time.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. That resonated with people. Okay. Time. Give me some time. Because you used to give me time. Uh-oh. My mom said, I don't care y'all heard it before, but some of y'all need to do it. The things that you did to get that woman, the same thing you got to do to keep. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Claudia.
Well, I know I'm loved. I know I was loved this past week.
Okay, what happened?
By people who I didn't think thought of me in a good way. But when they found out I was leaving, they had all these compassionate words.
Come on now.
We're going to miss you. We're going to love you. And one of the people that was related to someone else that I work with said, who's going to take care of my uncles now that you're leaving?
Come on now.
I said, they're going to be fine.
There it is.
They're going to be fine. My replacement will take good care of them.
Okay. Amen.
So, I mean, by words of affection, okay, and appreciation, and in my case this week, they gave me flowers. Okay. They gave me lunch.
Come on now.
And a lot of cards, and, well, I was loved.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Thanks for sharing. All right, who got over here? And then you got somebody back there?
Pastor, I got a spiritual answer.
Uh-oh, here comes. Okay.
I know I'm loved because God moves heaven and hell for me.
Ooh.
And a clear example, it's the smallest thing.
Smallest thing.
Corey and I are on vacation in a foreign country.
Okay.
God brings somebody we met at the same resort last year. Mm-hmm. Just so I could have feminine products that wasn't on the resort. Like, go, you tell me that ain't
love.
Now,
come on now. Come on now. He don't care about that. I'm telling you, God does, he knows it all. He does it all. That's why we got to let him plan the party. Because I'm sure Claudia going to give a testimony about what happened with her and money that came her way. I just threw it out there. Amen? Amen? I'm sure she's going to get a testimony. I mean, when you look back over your life, when you got the biggest blessing was when you didn't have any clue about it. But that's how he treats us. He's always planning something big and massive for us. Yeah.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.